strike to claim it. A strike to claim it. And he got it!
That is right, I did it! That's number five! Are you kidding me? That's right! Who do you think you are? I am! David Wright!
Ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, are you ready?
Welcome back to Fast Break Friday on The V Show. Now here's Bob Valdano and Mike Pratt.
Get ready.
Was that Pete Weber you just played?
It was. It's the anniversary of that sound. I'm trying to find exactly what year it is.
It's when he did the crotch chop. He invented the crotch chop. He was the bad boy of bowling. Who do you think you are? I am. That doesn't make any sense, by the way. I don't know what the hell.
I remember he's a bad boy. I don't remember the crotch
chop. He's actually a pretty good guy.
Really?
Yeah, but that was his gesture. He'd take both hands and go like that. I have no idea what that meant. I have no idea who do you think you are? I am. What the hell does that even mean?
He was fired up, all right. 9 years ago.
9 years ago.
Yeah. He made a big strike and a turn. That wasn't a split. I think he made a strike.
Yeah, it was. It was a strike. To win, was it like his fifth? Yeah, his fifth U.S. Open.
Yeah, it's a major, baby.
All right,
Think you are? I am. Sports makes you stupid.
Yeah, they do. All sports. I've got a couple things I wanted to bring up, Mr.
Sure.
Valvano.
Why not?
Of course, first of all, this week, have we had some crazy basketball outcomes?
I thought we were getting away from them for a while because I said, you know, every day I pick up the phone and shake it like, well, that can't be right. And then we had a relative calm for about a week, and then all of a sudden we went back to goofiness again.
Yeah, we got teams that get beat you don't think. I mean, Ohio State goes after playing Michigan, who's a terrific team, down to the nub at home. They go to Michigan State, and Michigan State was coming off a nice W. I believe it was over – Iowa?
No, Michigan State beat Illinois.
And Ohio State just kind of fools around up there and gets beat. Now Michigan State is on a roll. Illinois, of course, had lost to Michigan State. Indiana can't find a way to beat some teams everybody thinks they should beat. How about Kansas goes and plays Texas Tech? Texas Tech beats them, and Texas Tech has been struggling. They're 500 in the league. And then last night, you know, you had, two nights ago, you also had Virginia Tech and Georgia Tech. You played Georgia Tech.
Yeah, Georgia Tech handled them on the road. Right. And that one surprised me. You talking about Kansas losing to Texas?
Texas Tech on Tuesday night.
I thought they lost to Tech to Texas.
No, Texas Tech on Tuesday night, I believe.
Wow. That's unbelievable. I didn't even think I saw that one.
Wait, isn't that the one we bet?
Yeah, but did you take Texas Tech? You took Texas because you said you liked Shaka. Remember?
Yeah, that was a different game.
When was that game?
Wednesday?
Well, Tuesday. I think Tuesday night was I watched the game.
Well, I don't doubt you.
I watched the game. I mean, after a while.
No, Kansas lost to Texas on Tuesday, 75-72 in overtime.
Yeah, that was the game I took.
Okay. And then I had the wrong team. I had the wrong Texas team.
Yes. But still, Texas was going down. Kansas was going up. And Texas beat them. But how about K-State beating Oklahoma?
It was also a team I had written down here.
That was a wild
K-State,
one.
K-State, Oklahoma. And that K-State was had zero W's until that game in their league.
Yeah, they were in major struggle city. So it's been a
But some good things have happened. And right around here in the state of Kentucky, Eastern and Moorhead. Both are playing really, really well. Moorhead, 15. They've won 15 of their last 16, and Eastern's won 7-11. They beat Belmont, the league leader right now, and Moorhead's got Belmont this weekend, I think. Belmont's on the Kentucky swing. But, you know, that's good stuff that both those teams are having big years. It really is good stuff.
Western had a great chance last night, but Houston took care of them pretty soundly.
That was where I was going next. I've been championing Houston for a while, and I didn't like them the last time. Wichita State beat them, and they played like dogs. And I thought, uh-oh, I'm on the wrong team here. But, boy, last night Western's got a good club, and Houston owned them. Man, the athleticism came to light, and also the shooting for Houston. And against Wichita, they looked like they had cement in their shoes. And I had seen them before, and I thought, wow, that team is, you know, I mean, they're a team that you're going to look up and see them if they play like they did last night. You're going to look up and see them in the Sweet 16 and maybe the Elite Eight if they get the right draw. I mean, they've got, you know, they're not big, but they've got good overall size. They're very athletic. And last night and the times previously, except for Wichita State, they've shot the ball. You know, I like that club.
Yeah, I really haven't seen them. I got to be honest with you. I've seen very little of them. But there were other surprise results this week. NC State beat Virginia at Virginia.
Yep.
And Virginia was looking like, if not the best team in the league, right up there with Florida State. They have hit the skids ever since Florida State throttled them at home. They just whooped them. Virginia's had a hard time getting back on track. What happened in the SEC, Alabama? Arkansas is, I guess, a factor, huh? I mean, Arkansas beat them by 15.
Well, I watched that because, you know, Kentucky had Arkansas. It had a bad call at the end of the game. But, you know, they had them right where they wanted them and lost. And I didn't think Arkansas, even though they were at Arkansas, I didn't think they could beat Bama. But the first half, Bama couldn't make a three-point, and that's their game. They could not make one. Okay, they came out in the second half and started making them. But give Arkansas credit, about 5 or 6 minutes to go, man, they got on a roll themselves, and their defense picked up, and they got a W. You know, that's a tough place to play. I know there's not any fans, but what fans were there were pretty up, you know, upbeat and holler and scream. But, yeah, Arkansas's got a nice team. I something about them I don't like as well as I like Alabama.
What about Missouri losing to Ole Miss at home?
Yeah.
I mean,
Ole Miss can be a dangerous team because they play a lot of 1-3-1 and kind of play it a funky 1-3-1.
Oh, I like the funky.
I like
the funky one. I think I saw them. They were banned in the 70s, weren't they? The funky 1-3-1s.
I don't know, but you got a nice shoulder roll
like
on
that.
You there, bud.
Funky 1-3-1s.
The funky monkey. But, you know, Ole Miss is that was beating Missouri at Missouri was surprising. Ole Miss is. You know, it's got some things going for it. Yeah, there's some Ole Misses. I think they can't keep the big fella Tillman out of foul trouble. And you know, he's a pretty good one of the few really good back to the basket low post guys in the college game because most of the big guys want to step out and shoot the ball, and they don't want to post up. So people play four and five out or four out and one under. But this kid Tillman is he's a senior. Yeah, they got a lot of experience at Missouri. That they've been sliding, and I haven't figured it out yet.
Here's what's interesting. We had Billis on, and he said, make no mistake about it, there's now a third team at that tier in addition to Gonzaga and Baylor. And
oh, Michigan, no question.
And he said absolutely
no
belongs there.
Yep.
He said they are the real deal. I was not sold on them offensively for a while. But
really?
Oh, yeah. A couple of games I saw them. They just were sporadic offensively, and I think you really got to be a dynamic offensive team. But then I've seen these last games, and they are hitting on all cylinders. They're scoring inside, they're scoring outside, and they have great. I mean, one thing they always have, they play hard. They love Juwan, and they played hard. Their defense was good all year, but their offense was. Didn't strike me as great. I mean, let me go back and see the KenPom stats.
See,
They're much better now anyway.
I looked at it. I liked them all along. I looked at it differently. I thought they had an offense that if you're going to beat them, you've got to outscore them, and they're going to be difficult to outscore. What I didn't trust was their defense. I don't think they've got a rim protector.
I confused playing hard with playing well.
They passed the ball so well. That Ohio State-Michigan game on Sunday was a special game. The ball moved for both sides. Guys hit big shots. Both teams are obviously playing with a lot of passion. But, you know, they Michigan passes the ball as well as anybody. Ohio State's not far off that. I mean, they move that ball. And they play small ball. The center, can't think of his name. He's about 6'7" for Ohio State. Then they bring a bigger kid off the bench. But, you know, both those teams really move the ball.
Michigan's adjusted defense is sixth in the country, but their offense now is up to sixth also.
Yeah.
So their offense has come a long way from. Well, I don't think they were that high statistically early in the year, but they are playing at a high level right now. The Houston has the 12th highest offense, 5th defense.
There you go. And that's built on athleticism.
Yeah. Gonzaga is 1st in offense, 9th in defense. Baylor's 4th in offense, 10th in defense. Michigan is 6th in both. Houston is 12th in offense, 5th in defense. Iowa's killing themselves because as much as I think offense is number one, rebounding's number two, you got to at least be okay defensively.
Solid. You just got to be
solid.
And they're
79th in defense. Yeah. They just don't guard anybody.
Right.
Illinois is 9th in offense, 16th in defense. Surprisingly, this number jumped at me. Ohio State, 3rd in offense. Not surprised at that. They're good offensively. 84th in defense.
Hmm. That's a bit high.
Isn't that surprised?
Yeah, I wouldn't think they
were
that far
back. I was surprised at
that,
too. Villanova's 5th in offense, 66th in defense.
Well, see, that surprises me. 5th in offense? I mean, I haven't seen enough of them.
Villanova?
Yeah, but I didn't think they would be that high. Now, they typically got a bunch of shooters now.
And Loyola of Chicago, 51st in offense, 1st in defensive efficiency.
I watched them the other day. They're a nice little ball club. That guy's done a nice job.
Porter Moser. Yes.
Yeah. I don't know him, but he's done a nice job.
This is surprising. Alabama, 29th in offense, 4th in defense.
Yeah.
What we talk about is the way they play offense. It's their defense that's driving the bus for them.
No. I mean, they play good defense, but, I think they've got some holes in their game. I would have bet that those numbers would have been reversed.
Yep. Florida State, the same thing. I mean, Florida State's 8th in offense, and they are much better offensively than some of the teams Leonard's had. Last couple of years, they've been good. But he's always been a good defensive coach.
Yep.
They're 50th in defense.
Yep.
I don't see that either. Mm. They can guard the hell out of you. So I'm not sure I quite understand that either.
I've got something I want you to look up while you've got that right there.
Okay.
3-point shooting.
I don't think it's on here.
Okay. I was.
This is just Pomeroy. He's got adjusted offense.
Oh, okay. Okay. I thought you were on your Sags.
Defense.
I know how you are with your Sags.
Well, Sags doesn't have 3-point shooting either. You'd have to go to the NCAA stats.
I think they have efficiency, don't they? How many you take and how many you make? Doesn't he have that?
I don't think Sags. Okay. You got to go to, the real metrics guys, the guys that make my eyes glaze over, those guys.
Yeah.
They take 3 dribbles with their left hand on Tuesday. They're really good offensively.
They'll pivot to the left on Wednesdays.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Did you ever do scouting? I was thinking the other day. 1% of the listening audience might know this name. Did you ever do a scouting report for Bert Gavuse?
Yeah, sure did.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, sure did. He had a big business when he was the assistant with the Lakers. That was a huge business for him.
I mean, filling out that report was worse than doing a term paper.
Yeah. $100 or something.
Yeah, you got like $100. It took you like 10 hours. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, really, I could see why he had clients, but my God. I mean, he wanted to know jump ball alignments, and it was just like, did he pass Bill Burke?
Don't know.
He was a an assistant coach for the Lakers, and then I think he was a scout, but he put together a scouting service. Colleges, you'd pay him, and he'd send these guys he trusted, and he'd just scout your team. But he sent you a packet that you had to fill out that was incredible. He wanted to know blood types and shoe sizes. And
there was a guy, Bo Brickles, who coached at Davidson before Eddie Biedenbach got the job. And before I was an assistant at Charlotte. And Bo, his background, he's from the Miami of Ohio area, that southern, southwest Ohio. So anyway, I got to know Bo, and he stuck around Davidson after he was done coaching, and he got into scouting. And he came over to me, and I always like to find a basketball person that would go watch my team.
Okay? Yeah.
And give me
insight.
Scout
your own team, yes.
And Bo had one of those Burka – he gave me one of those. He didn't want any money. He said, I'm happy to do it for you. He did
That's
one of those.
A friend.
Yeah. He
it's
did
like
one
the
of
Manhattan
those things.
Phone directory.
And we all – the staff, we go, damn, Bo. He saw us play twice, sat right there on press row, and he put that together. And, man, I'm telling you what.
Bill Burka is currently, happy to say, not only alive, 93 years young.
Wow.
And he's an Akron, Ohio boy, close enough to Dayton.
Yeah.
And he's still technically a special consultant for the league itself, I guess. And he has 7 championship rings from his time with the Lakers as an assistant coach.
Wow. That's pretty good
Part
stuff.
Part of 10 championships with the Lakers. 7 as an assistant coach, 3 as a scout. Wow, pretty strong.
Well, that brings me to a question, the things we were talking about with college basketball.
Oh, we got Kesty right now.
Oh, okay. Let's get Kesty on.
Let's get my friend Kesty on, who I'm mad at because I was supposed to do 2 games with him. And as much as I love Sean Kelly, I love catching up with my guy Kesty, too. And then you called management and said, I won't work with that slob, and I was a little disappointed about that.
It was even more nefarious. I called Oklahoma State, and I said, could you move your game to Monday? Because then there's a better chance that I don't have to work with Bobby at all. No, that was such a bummer. We had 2 games set up, Monday and Tuesday.
Then
we ended up having a Monday doubleheader, which required 2 teams, and for some reason they want to break us up. So definitely disappointed.
It's like break up the Yankees. Well, anyway.
Kesty, I have to ask you a question. Are you a New York guy?
No. I don't know, Mike. I mean, I'm upstate New York, so I probably don't even qualify, but probably close enough.
Well, that's, you know, Bob's got all these New York guys that come and go on the show, so I have to ask.
I
classify myself as a Bristol guy. I'm one of his Bristol guys.
No, he's the best. Kesty's the best. I can't even joke about that. You're going to be doing the Big 12 again for the network, correct? And
that is correct. I believe it'll be myself and Malcolm Huckabee.
Couldn't talk your way into getting that ACC second doubleheader that first night, huh?
I tried. Believe me. I was like, if we're not going to be there, which for our listeners, we will not be there for the tournament this year. So we can do as many games as we want as long as, like Monday, they're not concurrent.
Exactly. As long as they're not 2 at once, we can bust them all out. So
exactly.
Anyway, all right. But you're, of course, Mark is the esteemed voice of the National Basketball Association on ESPN Radio. And you've got a couple of teams that I think we both want to talk to you about, Mike Pratt and myself. You've got Dallas and Brooklyn Saturday night, and then the Clippers and Bucks Sunday afternoon. Let's start with Brooklyn. I've told you this, and I don't make any bones about it. I grew up rooting for every team in New York. That included the Nets. They played on Long Island when I was there. And I just can't root for them right now. I'm sorry. They leave a bad taste in my mouth. And yet they're playing better now. So they might emerge from the East. What's the storylines for Brooklyn right now in your mind?
Well, to me, and you know, I'm looking forward to our conversation with Steve Nash tomorrow because I've had 2 Brooklyn games previous to this, you know, weeks apart, and just trying to figure out why now. You know, this is 8 straight wins for them. They still haven't had a chance to really have their full complement. Kevin Durant's been out of late. James Harden's kind of been the constant since he came over in the trade. Kyrie Irving was kind of in and out there for a while. I'm with you. I think I've become even more fond of the abilities of James Harden just watching him the last month. It hasn't been a style of game that I've enjoyed watching. You know, we did a lot of Houston games over the years. And as successful as they were, it just wasn't pleasant to watch. And now seeing him in this role where he doesn't have to and almost seems like doesn't want to be a 30-point scorer, you know, that he can have 10, 12, 13 assists per night. And then when they're all healthy, as John Barry put it in one of the games we had where we did have all 3, you guys can just take turns. Like Harden could be the guy who's going to be the point guard and the distributor now, and then Kyrie Irving can take his turn in the second quarter, and then Kevin Durant can do his thing in the fourth quarter. You know, the biggest question just has been defense, and I think that's getting better. But certainly, I think I have, personally for me, which I think I don't know if it's a storyline, but I'll certainly talk to Steve Nash about it tomorrow, is just the appreciation of James Harden's ability, at least here in the short term, to acquiesce some of his game to make this work for a team.
Well, Kesty, let me ask you this. Harden came over from Houston, brought a lot of baggage or perceived to be baggage to the Nets, and he's totally opposite of that. What do you give credit for that? Him trying to prove a point to everybody that he's really different in certain situations, or does it have to do with his new relationship with the coach?
Yeah, I think it's probably a little of both, and it's probably a story that, you know, we can write after the season to see how it holds up over 60 games. And then I'll probably even extend it into, you know, the rest of his time in Brooklyn if it's a two-year window or whatnot to sacrifice that part of the game. We saw Kevin Durant do that when he went to Golden State, and they were wildly successful. So, look, it's things could, I don't want to say could not have been worse because it's all relative, but it wasn't good in the last weeks in Houston. And you have a change of scenery, and you're playing with, you know, two of the best players in the league, and you have this opportunity at this stage of his career where he hasn't, you know, had the chance to win. You know, he did younger when he was with Oklahoma City that one year. They had a couple of cracks, couldn't get past the behemoth Golden State. So I think he sees the signs. This might be the best opportunity. So I think it's a little of both. And as you pointed out, Mike, as well, playing for Steve Nash has to have something to do with that as well, the respect he has for him.
You know, speaking of respect, though, Kesty, I find this, and I think it's a stroke of genius. Larry Bird did it when he went to Indiana, which is to say, I have some skills, but I've not been a coach. Let me go get guys who have been. And he put a good staff together. He had Dick Harter on his staff, and he had longtime NBA coaches. Nash has hired, he's got like four head coaches on his staff, which a lot of young guys might be threatened by. But he got Mike D'Antoni, who, of course, was the coach at Houston. He's got Jacques Vaughn, who was the Nets head coach for the bulk of last season. And he brought Amari Stoudemire on, but he and Amari have got, are not guys with huge coaching experience. So he's put together a nice mesh of young personalities and older coaches. He played for D'Antoni in Houston. Did they get along, Harden? Was that part of it? Did he want to be back playing for D'Antoni? I thought they wanted to get away from each other.
You know, I think I don't think we can undersell how important Mike D'Antoni being on that bench is in Brooklyn. Did they have their moments? They did. But James Harden liked the style that Mike D'Antoni put out there. And when the Rockets didn't bring him back, to me, I mean, that soured the whole thing. There was no way James Harden wanted to stay in Houston without that system, with a rebuild. You know, and he made that blatantly obvious. You know, he let his shape go, and then, you know, it voiced it that he just didn't want to be here. We're a long way from being good. So, you know, did they have their moments? They did, but I think there was respect. I think he loved the system, and I think that is a huge piece to his success in Brooklyn and Steve Nash's success too. Again, I've only had them, this will only be my third game having the Nets with Steve Nash, but he's so calm. The times I met him when he was consulting the Warriors the last 5 years, you know, he's very underspoken, very smart. And I was, again, it was, you know, Hubie Brown who was the lead in these conversations. I was just kind of the on the side there, you know, chatting it up a little bit. But he's the same guy. Like, he doesn't seem overwhelmed in the moment. And I think some of that has to do, A, with his basketball smarts, his coaching instincts, B, and then C, having the quality of assistant coaches that he has just to make sure everything's buttoned up. And the same with Harden. I think it all comes together.
And D, he's Canadian.
So he's a good guy.
Oh, yeah. I've never met a Canadian who's that nice guy.
You put them above your posse from Long Island?
Oh, no, without question. I love Long Island. But Canadian, you can't find a bad person from Canada, the Twin Cities in Minneapolis, St. Paul, or Pittsburgh. They are all fantastic people.
What about Dayton? I think Fargo also. Yeah. Fargo, North Dakota.
I don't have enough data for Fargo. Dayton, I could definitely rule out. But,
All right, Kesty, I've got a question for you. We'll switch a little bit here. My man DeMarcus Cousins, is his career done? The injuries have cut that short, or where will he end up for the last, 20, 30 games of the season?
I think someone's going to pick him up. We did a couple of Rockets games and one post-James Harden against Miami a few weeks back. And for a guy who really, unfortunately, is limited athletically because of the injuries – it's remarkable. He'll put up 12 points and 8 rebounds in a quarter. I mean, he just knows where to be. He's become a really good three-point shooter. You know, he's a guy who can help you out. The problem is, you know, finding the fit, because there's so many teams that just want to play fast and spread the ball. Maybe he's a guy that you just hang out on the perimeter, but I don't know if that's, you know, necessarily, you know, the style you want for him. But it's unfortunate. I mean, it's not just one big injury, it's three of them all in a row for a guy who's 6'10", And he's amazingly skilled and still has something to give. I'm not sure where he ends up, but I think someone's going to pick him up, someone who hopes to be a contender, you know, that can have him as an option on their bench. I don't think he's done yet.
Let me ask you about it. You know, we're products of our environment. I watch more of the Eastern teams. It's just time zone things. But you obviously have to and do follow all of them. And we had, PJ? It might have been PJ himself came on the show the other day and said he thinks the best team in the West right now is the Clippers. That wasn't PJ. It was somebody else. Nick might remember, but it wasn't PJ. But he said it might be the Clippers. And I find them a fascinating team because, let's not kid ourselves, there's probably half the fans don't even know Tyronn Lue's the coach.
That's true.
He never really got credit in Cleveland because it was LeBron's show. I think he feels like he's got something to prove there. And they seem to be responding to him very well. I mean, if they're not the best team, they're in the discussion, aren't they?
I would think so. I mean, if you ask me who's the best in the West, you know, we're going to start with Utah, the way they've played. Everyone assumes the Lakers when they're healthy. And then you have your dark horses like, you know, Phoenix, who has played well. And the Clippers get forgotten this year because I think we were so on top of that team last year as the, you know, they were the heavy favorites with George, with Leonard, with that bench, with Montrez and Lou Williams. And obviously, for whatever reasons, they never coalesced and they were bounced in the second round. I don't think on paper they're as good as they were last year, but if they play, you know, if those two guys play and then you're still getting what you get from Lou Williams, Ibaka's been good, Zubats has been improved, you still have Pat Beverly, who's still a pest at his advanced age, they're there. I don't know if they're my number one, but they're someone you shouldn't sleep on because any team that has Kawhi Leonard and Paul George when they're playing well and when they're committed, you know, is going to be a team that's good. I wouldn't put them number one at the moment, but I do believe they are a forgotten team, and that's not a bad call.
Rudy Gobert has had a really good year, has he not, Kesty?
He has, and I'm one of the all-star voters, and you know, he was someone I had to really consider. I didn't vote for him. You only get, you know, three front court players. But he has played so well this year. That team as a whole has played so well. We haven't had a Utah game in a while. And one of the nice things, if there are silver linings in the whole pandemic sports world, is we got a second half schedule like 5 minutes ago, it feels like. And so you had a chance to add teams that we normally don't get. The Phoenixes right. will be on our schedule. The Knicks will be on our schedule.
Woo.
Utah is going to be one of those teams as well. And I'm definitely looking forward to that because Gobert is a terrific player.
Speaking of the Knicks, the Kentucky North Knicks, or the New York Wild Knicks, or Knickercats.
Wild Knicks, I like that.
But
I
mean,
that.
Right now, you know, it's still so close in the East. It's just fun that they're actually competitive in games. It's been so long since we've seen that, but if the playoffs started today, they'd be in. But you have one bad week in the East and you can go from the five seed to the 11. So when it's all said and done, do you think the Knicks play themselves in?
Yeah, it's because the Celtics are finding that out right now. I don't
right.
even know. They might be at the back end of that.
They're
that
out right now. If the playoffs started today, they'd be out.
They'd be out. Wow. I'm a Knicks buyer. I don't know why. I just love watching them. You know, Julius Randle, again, he was a tough one for me. Do I vote for him for starter or not? I eventually did not, but he made it. I'm happy for him. He was going to make the All-Star team regardless. RJ Barrett has stepped up. You know, I wish I could see talent when we see them on the college level and then say, this guy's going to be a really good NBA player. It's so hard to gauge. And Quickley is one of those guys, right? We got a chance many times. You guys got to see him a ton, and you just don't know. You don't know if it's fit. You don't know if it's the coach that he's playing for. You're not sure what it is, but he's got it. And then the Derrick Rose deal turns out to be this quiet little deal that you had a feeling, look, he could still score in the league, but you don't know if he still has it. And he does. They got some good pieces there. I'm always a fan anytime. I know we're not in the buildings right now, but anytime we can call games from the Garden, and I don't think I've called a Knicks game at the Garden in maybe five years. Oh, my goodness. It's the best.
Since Michael Ray Richardson and Ray Williams.
Ray Williams. You know, Kesty, one thing about Quickley that people didn't have a chance doing those the radio for Kentucky is that this kid was locked in.
Which kid are you talking about? There's Quickley. So many. Oh, Quickley.
That's who Kesty was talking about. Yeah. He had that. There's guys that have been have come through Kentucky and other schools where you just wonder, do they have the drive when they get to the next level to continue to develop? Or can they get over the hump of the hump is I question what this guy can do and that guy can do from an NBA perspective. Do they have that drive to get over? And this is a kid that, that showed me after a unremarkable freshman year and supposed to be a star, came back, worked all summer and came back and played the way he did with the passion and the confidence that he had after just a struggle his freshman year, that I knew if that kid got somewhere where they would give him a chance, he had the mental aspect. He had the mental aspect, knew how to play, and was driven. So that those of us around here that got to see him on a daily or weekly basis, not surprised with that.
You know, Mike, it's a great point. I've done so many games with Bobby, and I know even Fran Fraschilla, you know, he always points out to me at Summer League, you know, the NBA is 97% role players. And you're right. I mean, all these guys have been the best of the best, you know, as they get recruited for college. I'm doing G League games, a couple of them. I've got that Ignite team that has these best of the best prospects who decided not to go to college. And it's the same thing. It's the you're not the best guy anymore when you step out on the court. You have so much to learn. Are you willing to learn? Are you willing to work hard? Are you willing to, you know, put away that ego and make it to a team? And you always forget that's so much a part of ending up being a pro on top of your skill set and your abilities that, you know, some of the guys kind of slip through the cracks a little bit on draft night, and you don't know why that second-round pick like Fred VanVleet, or he wasn't even drafted, you know, turns out to find a spot in his career. And it's the stuff you can't put your finger on, and that's the beauty of it, is we watch these games all the time, right? And we still don't know until you know, but you see the signs in retrospect.
You don't know till it's over, right?
Yes, exactly. What did Yogi say, Bobby? Something like that. Yeah, it ain't over till it's over.
It ain't over. But I'll tell you, you know what's funny is that sometimes it happens, and then you look back and you say, God, it looks so obvious now. How did I not know that?
I know, like Montrezl Harrell, like Donovan Mitchell. I'm just talking Louisville guys here, you know, guys that we saw, you and I doing ACC games, and we did Kentucky games as well, and you're right. Why didn't I see that? Yeah, you saw signs of it. You just don't know. Guys could end up on the wrong team. How many good players ended up, I hate to pick on the Sacramento Kings, but how many really good players ended up in Sacramento, and if maybe they had gone to a different program, perhaps it would have completely changed their career.
Into an abyss.
I think you're right, Cassie. I don't think people make enough about that. It's true in high school, it's true in college, and even in the pros it's true. If you wind up in the wrong place, I mean, it doesn't work.
It's the culture. They talk. The term now is the culture, but the culture does catch you.
Absolutely.
It does. Cassie, it does.
Take care of yourself. Be safe. It's a crazy world out there. Take care of yourself.
It is. Yeah. I'm bummed we didn't get those two games last week, but we'll be back together soon. I know that.
We'll rally.
Mike, good chatting
brother.
With you as always.
Take care. Be well. Thanks.
See you later.
Say hi to your family. Mark Kestisher, the voice of the National Basketball Association. Nick, I lost track. We didn't take a break, did we? We need one, don't we? We do. So we'll take it. We'll come back. We'll do our lukewarm leftover and go down the stretch here on what now?
Do this weekend's games, U of L, U of K games.
We don't pick those games because we get in trouble when we do
Nick
that.
Just threw it out on the table, you know.
That's just how he is. We'll come back. Fast Break Friday, ESPN 680, 105.7. And wherever you're listening to us, our affiliate in Lexington, glad to have you with us. And anywhere else you're listening to us here on the PNV Network.
It's an executive order you should be buying from O'Brien during the President's Day sales event at O'Brien Ford of Shelbyville. Choose from a monumental number of trucks, F-150s, Super Duties, Rangers, and more. Whether you have towing, plowing, or hauling needs, we're sure to have just what you're looking for. And all at prices that are hard to beat. Hurry in, our President's Day sales event won't last long. O'Brien Ford, just a short drive to Shelbyville. Drive a little, save a lot. Or visit O'BrienFord.com.
My name is Steve Bosco, General Manager of Prodigy Construction. I've been part of the Commonwealth Bank and Trust family since 2016. While other banks can take a simple process and make it complicated, CB&T keeps things simple. They're honest, fair, and transparent. If you're looking for a bank for your business, let me know. I'll take you to lunch with my banker. Having CB&T as a partner is like having a banker in the family.
See more business banking stories at bankerinthefamily.com.
The finest bourbon selection on the planet is at Liquor Barn and Party Mart. In addition to the great whiskeys you'll find in-store at Liquor Barn, you'll find everything you need to stock the bar at Kentucky's favorite spirits, wine, and beer store. And if you don't have time to make it into one of Liquor Barn's locally owned and operated locations, they will deliver to you. Or you can schedule a curbside pickup. To schedule a pickup or delivery, download the Liquor Barn app, visit liquorbarn.com, or call your local Liquor Barn store. Liquor Barn, where Kentuckians go to celebrate life.
People-friendly equipment, technology, and service for all of your print communication needs. Look no further.
Just Whistle for duplicator sales and service.
Copy, scan, fax, send, or mail. Your unduplicated professionals can simplify the process with world-class network business machines from Ricoh and Savin. High-quality office equipment solutions and services and the fairest possible price always for you. That's our commitment.
For today and tomorrow.
And our commitment continues from our commercial print and mailing division, Derby City Litho. Check out the 7110 Ricoh graphic print system, providing superior color output to include spot varnish options. Duplicator sales, Derby City Litho. Corporate mailing systems, Ricoh and Savin.
Just Whistle for duplicator sales and service.
Phone 589-5555. Online at duplicatorsales.net. 831 East Broadway in Louisville, with offices in Elizabethtown and Lexington.
You heard it on your sports leader.
We are here for a very special announcement. We're the new home for Louisville City FC.
ESPN Louisville is now the exclusive home for live play-by-play of Louisville City FC.
I'm really excited to be partnering with ESPN Radio. This is fantastic. Welcome to the family. If you have the chance to listen to the game being called on the radio, it really is a beautiful thing.
Be sure to catch every second of the upcoming season as Lou City goes for another USL championship. Listen to every match live right here or on the ESPN Louisville app.
At Eclipse Roofing and Restoration, they believe that no job is too big or too small. Whether you need a new roof or roof repair, siding, gutters, windows, restoration, or a remodel, Eclipse Roofing and Restoration, they got you covered. They're committed to personal, professional, and precise work that gets the job done right the first time. Eclipse Roofing and Restoration has been perfecting the home improvement and commercial roofing process in Louisville now for more than 25 years. EclipseRoofingLouisville.com. Customer trusted, Google approved.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language like French, Spanish, or Russian, but thought it would be too difficult and time-consuming? Then try Babbel. Text TRY to 64000 and try it for free. Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday practical conversations that you will actually use. In 15 minutes a day, you'll be on your way to speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel uses a modern conversation-based technique that makes language engaging, fun, and memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then, sentences gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations about real-life topics. Babbel is created by language experts who use the spaced repetition method to help you learn quickly and remember what you learned. With Babbel, you can speak a new language. Babbel. Language for life. Celebrating 10 million subscriptions sold. Now try Babbel for free. Just text TRY to 64000 to start learning a new language today. That's TRY to 64000. T-R-Y to 64000.
Do you or a loved one require access to a quick and reliable option for COVID-19 testing due to possible exposure? If so, call 859-203-1460 to register for our testing site located at Jefferson Community College at 109 East Broadway. We offer free COVID testing with a non-invasive, pain-free, FDA-approved oral mouthwash through SV Diagnostics out of Dayton, Ohio. SV Diagnostics is a CLIA-certified lab that offers real-time PCR COVID testing, with typical results being available by 48 hours. SV Diagnostics is a lab that does not require a prior appointment and accepts all requests, whether it is for medical or travel-related reasons. For travelers looking for a COVID testing, we offer a cash-based option with typical results received in 24 hours. Uninsured patients are billed through the CARES Act, part of the Federal Relief Fund passed by Congress in 2020. So come downtown to Jefferson Community College at 109 East Broadway and get your free mouthwash COVID test so you can get back to work or your loved ones.
Welcome back to Fast Break Friday on the V Show. Now here's Bob Valvano and Mike Pratt.
Just enough time. time for the lukewarm leftover. And I'm going to make an executive decision here. There's a couple of games tomorrow. I'm not going to ask Mike to pick them yet. But if you want to pick these games, just pick the winner. We'll let you do that because I think they're close enough. Because they don't do colleges don't release the point spreads till Saturday morning. So
that's
we have
correct.
No point spreads. So some where I think you would need a point spread to make some sense of it. But I'll give you some others. Like Michigan, Indiana. You can't pick. You'd take Michigan in that without a point spread. That can't
where
be
is that
the
game?
Table. It's in Indiana. But you're still without a point spread. You can't pick that. But here are the ones for tomorrow you could pick if you want.
But let me interrupt you, please.
Okay.
If the number is big, Michigan coming off a couple very important.
I know, but we don't know what the number is.
No, I know. But if the number's big, you could pick the Hoosiers.
Oh, I know.
At home.
But
yeah,
without
yeah,
knowing
yeah.
what the number is.
I'll give you number 10.
No, that's we can't do that. Then you're going to cheat. It's cheating. But these games, I think, would be pick'em or close to pick'em games. For example, Texas. Well, I don't know. Texas and Texas Tech. Texas is ranked 14th. Tech is ranked 18th. Texas is 14-6. Tech is 14-8. The game's at Texas Tech. You could take that one without a point spread if you wanted to. Let me go through all of them here.
Okay.
As much as I love the Cards, I think you'd have to put a point spread on that Duke with Duke. I think Duke will probably be about a 4 or 5 point favorite, so I can't put that on there. So, here's a good one. In the Big Ten, Illinois goes to Wisconsin. I would play that game straight up. What are you going to do with that game? You could pick that one if you wanted to.
Illinois
have permission to pick that.
Illinois is without Ayo, their leading scorer. He didn't play the other night, so well, I expect him. He's going to be out for a while. And Wisconsin, as you know, can get hot, that tray.
Syracuse and Georgia Tech. It's at Georgia Tech. I think that's a game that you can make pick as a pick 'em.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Georgia Tech just got off spanking Virginia Tech at Virginia Tech.
I would say that they would be favored.
Oh, really? You think so?
Yeah. Syracuse is awful.
You know what? Okay. You know, that's why am I doing this? All I got to do is look in the Sagarin ratings. That's a good point. So let's see. If it's too big a margin, you can't do that. Nope. Take a little bow. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Sagarin's, Georgia Tech, 84.06. Syracuse, 83.29. Less than a point separation.
That's why I said take Georgia Tech.
And lay the 7/10 of a point. Yeah. All right, let's see. Louisville's 84.9. Duke is, okay. You can take that game, too, if you wanted. Louisville's 84.9. Duke is 85.9. 1 point difference there.
Okay.
So you're allowed to take that one, too, if you'd like. Let's go through the others here.
So we just need to pick
one. A winner. Pick one. No, it's a lukewarm leftover. You only pick one game.
All right.
Texas and Texas Tech. Let me see what the spread is there before I make false promises I cannot live up to. In the they're the Big 12, you dumbass. You're looking in the wrong league. Here we go. Big 12 right there says that Texas Tech. Oh, another. Could not be more pick-em-y-ish. Make my own word up. Texas is 86.5. Texas Tech is 86.0. Oh, you don't get much closer.
Well, does that, in that particular scenario, is the home court advantage factored in?
No, home court, you would add two to the home team, according to Sagarini.
Okay. That's what I thought. Okay.
All right. Let's go take a look at some others here.
I can't trust Texas. They right now, I don't trust them. I think they're good, but.
Well, then you could pick against them if you choose.
If you choose.
You could pick the Bellarmine game if you wanted. Liberty and Bellarmine here in Freedom Hall.
Well, I'm pulling for Bellarmine.
Yeah, we all are. That's why I don't like to pick those games, because unless you pick Bellarmine, you look like a traitor. Let's see what they say. The Atlantic Sun. Bellarmine is 64.7. Liberty is, wow. Liberty's an 11-point favorite on a neutral court against Bellarmine.
By the Sags.
By the Sags.
Wow.
Yeah. Go get them, Scotty.
That's right.
Let's see what else we got here. We got, you want to go see what the Big Ten says about those boys of Wisconsin and Illinois? Illinois is 90.6. Wisconsin's 87.9. But then when you add the home court advantage in, it makes them 89.9. They're less than a point separation there.
What's it say about Michigan in Indiana?
All right. Michigan would be 92.9. Indiana's 84.6. Give Indiana 2 for playing at home. That would mean you should lay, make it 93.
Six.
93, you should lay 7. You have to give Indiana 7 at home. You want to do that?
No.
Okay, so then move on.
No, I know who I want.
Well, I don't know who I want.
Oh, okay.
SEC, Nick gets mixed. I like to go through the whole country. LSU, I hope I can pick against them. Let's see there. They
big
are
ass, straight,
84.9. They're taking on Arkansas, who's 86.9. So Arkansas should be a four-point favorite. Do I want a life four in that game?
Game is where?
In Arkansas. With home court advantage, they should be a four-point favorite. I don't trust them. LSU could do anything. And maybe he makes a payday.
They could.
Tomorrow could be payday.
That's the problem.
If tomorrow's payday, those kids could play.
They line
hard
up before the game. They give them their money in a little checks envelope. They go play.
That's what I'm saying. They may be excited about that. A little something extra in there. You know what I mean? We don't want to do that. So
you get the something extra post-game if you win.
Yeah, that's what I mean. A little motivation. So we don't want that. And I think that's about it for the head-to-head. Oh, no. How about you guys? Florida and Kentucky. Florida is 85.7. Kentucky with home court advantage is 85. So that would mean Florida would be a 0.7-point favorite. That game's a pick 'em.
Yep. Florida was not significant, but they were 4-point favorite down there in Gainesville.
What was the score there?
I think we won by 12, 14, something like that. Yeah. We shot it well, put a lot. They kicked it, they turned it over 16 times. They won't. It'll be a good game. It's a pick'em game.
Yeah, it's a legit pick'em game.
Yep.
All right, so which one are you taking?
I'll tell you who I want. I watched Colorado last night.
That's tonight, isn't it?
UCLA and Colorado?
Yeah, wait, is that tonight or tomorrow?
I think it should be tomorrow.
Is it?
Colorado was on the tube last night against US or SC, as they call themselves.
Hang on, Pac-12.
Let's say
it's tomorrow. It's tomorrow at 10 p.m. And let me see what the Sagarins say about that before you hoodwink me into giving you points you don't deserve. UCLA is 84.5. Colorado's 85.6, but Colorado's at home, so they should be 88.6. So 88.5 to 85.5. You'd have to, if you take Colorado, you got to give UCLA 3.
Oh, no, I thought we were doing pick'ems.
No, that's not a pick'em. That's a 3-point
separation. Oh, man, that's a bait and switch. We talked about them, and now you're baiting and switching me.
Well, you go somewhere else if you want. That's the deal.
Let me fill my Coke glass up first, would you? And ice. Diet Coke and ice. What? Give me one of those other pick'ems. You got me excited about the pick'em. Right. I'll take Kentucky as a pick'em.
All right.
Okay.
There you go.
So yep.
Kentucky, I'm going to get the
pick. The other one I would have taken was Georgia Tech, but you can take.
Well, that's not a pick'em, though, anymore. You're right. See, I don't want to be a hypocrite here. That game turned out to be
3.
Georgia Tech is, here they go. They're 84, and Syracuse is 83, but Georgia Tech's 86. At home, so it'd be 86. So 3. They'd have to give them 2.5. I may trust your
Syracuse is not real good. I was disappointed. I've watched them part of a couple games.
They were really bad the other night. But every time you say that in this season,
the team comes out the next night and plays
their asses off.
Good point.
So I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Good point.
But I do trust your gut reaction. So I'm going to do it. I'll take the fighting Josh Pastners and lay the 2.5. So you got Kentucky in a pick'em, and I've got the fighting Josh Pastners.
GA Tech.
-2.5. I hope I don't lose on the hook. That's all I'm saying.
You know, who Zags and Baylor on top of your top 10, then you follow with Michigan.
That's indisputable. Those are the top 3. After that,
who do you like?
Who goes? Who knows?
You like Ohio State? You like Houston?
Well, I did, but then Ohio State just lost to Michigan State.
Right. What about Bobby Huggins?
I haven't seen Houston enough.
West Virginia.
I don't think they're that good. West Virginia's pretty good, but I don't think they're the fourth best team in the country.
Well, but they're all about alike. Maybe Florida State.
Well, if they play at their best, Florida State would be number 4 for me. Yeah. But they're not as consistent as last year's team was, and that's a problem.
And Illinois has got one of the few back-to-the-basket, low-post guys.
I would have thought they would have been early in the year. I loved them early. Yeah. I had them early, and I said, man, they're a Final Four team. And then you talk about being sporadic. They've been all over the place.
But you know, February, on a good year, February is still the dog days of college basketball. Okay,
I would have thought, you know,
you
had me all fired up about Oklahoma, and then they go.
I know. Iowa too.
Can't guard anybody.
Yeah.
Maybe Villanova. You know, Jay Wright always seems to find a way to get it done.
They can score. If you go by your theory of shooting the ball and rebounding, They can shoot it with anybody. Alabama can shoot it. I know they didn't shoot it in the first half last night against Arkansas, but, man, they can shoot it. And their defense, according to the Sags, I'm not totally endorsing that, is better than what you think, correct? They're like fifth or sixth.
Well, that what you mean the KenPom.
KenPom, yes. Yeah. Excuse me.
No, I just I think I'm going to take a Big Ten team just because I think this is the year one of them has to make a chance. And so you give yourself – when the league is that good – give yourself a – it's like a horse race when they got a 1 and a 1A.
I'm going to tell you who I like Michigan against. Yep. I like them against the Zags. Now, Baylor's a different team. Their defense is pretty damn aggressive strong. I mean, physically.
Yes, they are.
Okay. So I have become a guy who looks at Baylor as being able to beat anybody.
Oh, I don't
think – I mean, I thought the Zags got out and they did things, but, boy, Baylor, whew.
No, they're definitely 1 and 1A. And Michigan's right there. If I had to pick a fourth team, I'm going to go with – I have a theory. If you see somebody early and they make your eyeballs pop out of your head, don't be put off because they have some stumbles. As John Thompson used to say, every team's got some challenges during
bumps
the year.
Bumps in a row.
Don't eliminate them. And Illinois did that with me early. So I think I'll stay with Illinois even though they just got beat the other day. I'm going to stay
like
with the Illini.
I like them. They've got a good inside out. Yeah. They play fast.
They're in a good league. They're in a very strong league. I think that helps you. So,
but how about a team like Purdue or Iowa could make some hay?
Well, that's
given a situation.
That's the other thing. That's another
one. Draw.
I'm filled with all these nonsensical theories, but I always said if you're not sure, take a team that's just out of the spotlight in the best league in the country. You saw that all the time. Or from it, like, I mean, from ACC, there'll be a team you talked about this team and that team, but all of a sudden somebody else makes a big run.
Virginia was like that.
Virginia was like, South Carolina was like that that year. That was the SEC.
They were the Final Four.
They went to the Final Four. So maybe you're right. Maybe you look at a Purdue, who, by the way, is now, where are they? They ranked at all?
Don't know, but I've watched them on nights when they look good.
They're 28th technically because they're in the also receiving votes. That's hard. History shows us most of the teams have to be in the rankings at least to make a maybe Houston. I keep overlooking Houston. I got to go really watch them.
You got to watch them. Okay. I was impressed last night. Western's got a nice ball club and they just manhandled Western.
Yeah. All right, that about wraps it up for Fast Break Friday. His pick is UK straight up. I've got Georgia Tech laying the 2.5. We'll see if they can get
two W's.
Well, we're on a roll. We are on a roll. Combined, the big-headed monsters are 14-6 against the spread, and the pizza-loving Paisans are 13-7. That means between the two of us, we're 27-13 against the spread. That's 1-800 number call us material.
Hey.
We're winning more than 2/3.
Who's holding
of our
the
games.
Paper on that? I need to cash a couple checks. Who's holding the paper?
It's payday today. We can.
Yeah, that's a good point. I have your check. I have your check, Pops. By the way,
Are you bringing it to me, or am I coming to get it?
I don't know. I have it. Just tell
I'll
me.
Come
just
and
tell
get
me
it.
What you want.
Are you going to be there after the show?
For a little while. Yeah, I got to go to the restaurant.
Get it right after the show.
Can we add? Can we do something? And I am blatantly stealing this, but it's sort of what do they say in sports league media that like everyone steals everything from each other or whatever? Maybe I just made that saying up as well. But no, like everyone kind of borrows ideas. Can we do like a big finish every week with you and Mike where you guys just basically?
Who wants to sing?
No, that'd be cool. You
I
don't have to
until my back starts back up a kick line. I always thought that would be.
Well, I mean, we all know that Mike's got some good dance moves and everything like that, and you got some velvety pipes and
Sugarfoot. They called me.
But every weekend, just end the show with you guys are the analysts. Just like the one thing you want to see from the Cards or Cats this weekend, like the one, the X factor. I don't know the V factor, the V and P factor. Yeah, there you go. The V&P index.
There you go. Yeah,
so just
all right.
Hit
to
me
your
something.
Point, Pops is over here. He's deliberating. But I will tell you what I want to see. I want to see Kentucky continue to push the ball in transition, fill the lanes in transition to put pressure on whoever they're playing to get back and find shooters. If you push it and create havoc, while pushing the ball, you're going to get a lot of shots. They've been doing that very well recently.
I want to see Louisville play with all their players healthy and play together. I mean, Malik comes back and then David gets sick. We don't really know how good they could be if all the parts were there. I mean, Sam Williamson is playing like they've wanted him to play. He owns the mid-range. He's double-digit rebounding every game. It's remarkable. Carlik continues to play at an extremely high level. Malik got 10 rebounds the other day and only a second game back. If they could just get all the pieces together, and maybe, just maybe, could they get a few minutes from Charles Mindland? I keep waiting for Godot. We're all waiting for that guy to get going, and he just hasn't been able to. I'd like to see how good they can be, because I don't think we've seen them hit on all cylinders yet, and it'd be interesting to see just how good they would be if they do that. We shall see. Maybe this will be the game. I don't know. We'll find out.
I like that. I like that. What's the last timeout they take?
It's called the last timeout.
No, yeah, but I don't know. I'm trying to relate it to basketball or something like that. So we're not just stealing the big finish from PTI.
It's the last timeout. I think some coaches refer to it as Adrian.
We'll call it the buzzer shot.
The buzzer beater.
Yeah, buzzer beater, not buzzer, but buzzer.
I would never call you guys buzzers. Well, maybe Dad, but not you.
We're going to hear a little bit from Roy Williams. I had a chance to chat with him earlier today. We're going to play that in the last hour. And
we're going to replay locally here Chris Mack's presser from earlier.
I was just going to say that, but you would not let me get that in because you wanted to take credit for doing
it. Yeah, I did.
The dog to bark.
I meant to play
Simon,
a
bark,
funny soundbite.
Bark.
Hey, Mike. Look. Mike, James Strebel wants to have lunch with you.
Well, yeah, tell Strebel.
$100 donation to the V Foundation. Done.
Yeah, $100 donation to the V Foundation. Give him my number and tell him to call me.
You got it.
Get the money up front.
Pops, right, you're kind of invited too.
Yeah, there you go. That's good. That's all.
That'll take it down to a $50 donation. All right. We'll be back locally with another hour. The rest of y'all, be safe. Take care of yourself out there. We're not quite done with this thing yet, so be careful, and we'll see you next week on Fast Break Friday. Simon, you want to say anything to anybody? No? Woof? Woof? No woof? Darn it.
You know, you made a point.
Hi, I'm Mike Pratt, here to tell you about Premier Packaging, a locally owned business that specializes in packaging, shipping, and logistics. Since 1984, Premier Packaging has taken a straightforward approach you can trust. With shipping costs on the rise, their team of professionals will work with you personally to minimize costs and increase your bottom line. From inbound, outbound, storing, and picking, Premier Packaging has solutions for your businesses, large or small. Visit primpack.com and sign up for a free assessment. Premier Packaging, this approach makes a difference.